The moment you decide to look outside of yourself for value is the moment you give your rights away to be authentically you. Your value is not in what your mother thinks of you, what your father thinks of you, what your family and friends think of you. Your value is what you think of yourself. That is the secret to authentically loving and being you.
Welcome to Soul Food with Sadie. It's time to feed your soul, uplifting others through inspiration, motivation, and edifying the soul so we can be the best version of ourselves. Here's your host, Sadie Evans.
Hello, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Soul Food with Sadie. Tonight's episode is going to be amazing. I have Fran Gardner on here, and she's going to give you guys some gems and practical tips to press through pressure when it comes up in life. How are you, Fran? Thank you for being a guest on the show.
I'm fantastic, Sadie. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, I just love your personality. Like, I can just feel the energy. It's so, like, awesome. I really like it. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
You start with the hard question first. So I am a pain reduction coach. I am a personal trainer, and I'm a fibromyalgia warrior. And so I teach people how to live pain-free. So many, many years ago, I had extreme pain and went through a lot of, you know, a cycle of pain and then recovery and flares, and it just went on and on. And I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia when I was in my late 30s. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I can't be like this forever. I can't be in pain forever. And so I did a lot of work. I changed the way I ate. I changed a lot of things in my life. Mm-hmm. And now I'm happy to say that I'm pain-free. So I teach people to do that. I teach them to identify their triggers, minimize negativity, eliminate foods that are inflammatory, and work on stress reduction. Those kind of are the four main things that I help people with so that they can then live a pain-free life.
That is good. That's like you handling the physical stuff. I'm real big on the soul stuff. You handling the physical stuff, because after we handle the soul, we got to handle the physical things that come with that. And when it comes to pressing through pressure, a lot of times people deal with anxiety. And I heard that anxiety usually gives people fibromyalgia. I don't know how true that is or if it's linked. Can you tell me what pressing through pressure means to you?
Yeah. So, you know, you're right. So there's a couple things that come to my mind. So with fibromyalgia, oftentimes the research says, and the powers that be out there that write about all these things say, there's often a trauma that happens in your life. And then the trauma is sort of the trigger for the fibromyalgia to show up. And I found it's interesting you mentioned about the soul part and the spirit, which I think is really important. And before I got diagnosed and before I started working on it, and this is sort of my evolution, is that I thought it was all the physical. Mm-hmm. And I only worked on the physical, but as you go through it, which, you know, and so do your listeners, that it's also the spirit and the soul, right? Like, you have to make sure you take care of that stuff, the mindset, gratitude, all those kinds of things, right? Love, those things also impact pain. And so, you know, pushing through pressure, it's interesting when you say that. To me, years ago, pushing through pressure would mean to me just going and doing what I had to do no matter what, no matter how I felt, no matter whether I thought it was, you know, not necessarily the best for me, but I would be doing it to meet the expectations of other people. Mm-hmm. Now, when I think about pushing through pressure, I think about what is the purpose of that? So it's changed about why I would do it, mm-hmm. right? And to really listen to my body and listen to my mind, listen to my heart and decide, is this really what I need to be doing? Or should there be taking a time out and maybe pushing through a different way? And so if you're, and I'm going to speak about myself, if you're a person who really is a go-getter and you achieve, high achiever, all that, pushing through now for me is to actually step back and relax. And that's the hard part. That's the pushing through pressure, is to just say, I'm going to take a holiday, or I'm going to stop working at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I don't need to work till midnight. Mm-hmm. Whereas the older version of me, I would have just kept going because I got to get it done. Mm-hmm. And now my mindset's a little bit different. So I think the idea of pressure is more about expansion and opening to what's coming. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. I feel like that's where I'm at. It kind of, if I was to sum it up, I would say you found peace in the midst of life circumstances.
And yes.
You said a few things that I kind of want to dive deep into. You said basically when you started this, it was like you were basically placing your value. That's not the word that you said, but looking outside of yourself for value. How do you think that affects us when it comes to shifting our mindset? Because apparently you shifted your mindset along the lines of that, because now you stand, what's the purpose?
Yeah, I think when we're looking for external, and it's such a multifaceted thing, because when you're going through the change and you're changing your mindset and you're changing your perspective on life and work and relationships, mm-hmm. you have to really realize that you are looking for the external validation, and then to turn that and look and see, okay, what do I need mm-hmm. to be healthy, to be happy, to thrive? And it has to come from inside. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when people are, I'll say they're on a journey of sorts, and they don't really know what to do. I believe that in many cases, we're raised. Our society seems to, I don't know, reward. I'll put that in quotation marks. If you push through, if you work really hard, if you just keep going no matter what the pain is, or okay, you'll recover tomorrow, but you got to work for 12 hours today. And we seem to be rewarded. And it seems to be like people are like, oh, you know, you're Sadie, you're so strong and you're so determined and you're so committed. And we use those words like they're positive, which they are. Yeah. But what I think we internalize is then that becomes sort of, I need to do this. Mm-hmm. So then Sadie will give me some confirmation that what I'm doing is the right thing. Or I'm productive, or I'm benefiting somebody else. And we forget about taking care of ourselves. And I think that's kind of the big piece that I've learned, is that you have to take care of yourself. You can't just worry about all the external stuff. So that whole mindset about looking internally and getting that validation from yourself to know, yeah, this is the step I need to take, or yes, this is the thing I should say no to, is really challenging, because I don't think that we are taught to do that.
Yeah, we're not, because as you said, we are a society that has made it seem like, oh, I'll sleep when I die. I have to stay up 50 hours and work hard. I have to do all this and go over all these hurdles without taking a break or showing that I'm crying or showing that there's a little bit of vulnerability inside of me. So it is something that we are not taught. And it's really unfortunate, because I feel like it increases the mental health issues in our society, because and people hiding it, and the suicide rate, because people don't want to talk about it, because we're going to call them weak, or we're going to make them feel like they're less valued. You know?
Yeah.
And that's really something I'm passionate about. I was diagnosed with something called generalized anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. So that really, getting that diagnosis made me really zero in, tunnel vision to research. And I realized that all it is me worried about tomorrow and things of my past, like excessive. So I had to find a way to get out of that. That's what started me in writing. And I really had to shift my mindset. So I want to ask you, if you did not shift your mindset from where you shifted it from searching for validation outside of you to searching for it within you, how do you think your life would look?
Oh gosh. You know, it's interesting, because so I'm going to bring you back to 2011. Okay. Because I was working as a adult educator with the school board, and there was, you know, you have to meet the requirements of the school board and the funders and all that stuff, right? Government and everything. And there was a lot of stress in my life. And what happened was I spent about 9 months going through nausea and headaches and vision problems and all of that. And what happened was one morning I went into work, into my classroom, and I turned on the lights and I couldn't see. And then vision came back in one eye, but I had nothing in the other eye. And I went home I went to my manager and I'm like, I gotta go. And she's like, what's happening? I'm like, I can't see. And she's like, yeah, but, and again, the, well, what are we gonna do? And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I can't see. I'm going, like, I don't know. I'm out, like, later. And I ended up, Sadie, in bed for 4 months with vision loss and with a migraine for 4 months. Like, I don't, even now when I think about it, I can't even remember, like, what happened during those 4 months. Like, I was in bed. I went to doctor's appointments. I had tests. I took medication. Like, I don't, it's foggy. And I, even now I'll see people and talk to people. Like, remember you said blah, blah, blah. And it was during that period. Right. And even the year after recovery. And I'm like, did I say that to you? They're like, yeah, we had a conversation. I don't remember any of it. And so when you ask me that question, what would it be like? I probably still have no vision in my eye. I probably would be utterly depressed. Like, because it was such an extreme thing, and all of that, that vision loss and the migraine was completely stress induced. Yeah.
Wow. That is so, like, wow. Like, that's a lot to me, because, I had something similar to that happen and I really didn't know what it was. The doctors really didn't know what it was. They didn't say it was stress induced, but I just chalked it up as it's my anxiety, but I didn't realize that it could cause these physical elements in our body.
Yo, yes.
Like, oh gosh. Like, really bad.
Yeah. 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 So stress is really, I talk a lot about managing stress and dealing with stress. And, you know, the thing is that we, like you were saying, you worry about what's happening, going to happen in the future. You worry about what happened in the past. And that really just brings your anxiety and stress level up. Mm-hmm. Well, then the body, we are not designed. We were not made to deal with chronic stress or anxiety. That's not how we're conditioned. The way that we are made is our body reacts to a stressful situation and it says danger or no danger. Mm-hmm. And if there's danger, like, and we know this, right? It's fight or flight. If it's dangerous, then the cortisol levels go up in the body and we get ready for action. And then the stress hormone, cortisol, which that's what it is, it produces more in the body, which is not good for us. Mm-hmm. And then what's naturally supposed to happen when the danger subsides, the stress level goes down, everything goes back to status quo and, you know, we're good. But we live in a culture. And like I said, we're kind of conditioned to put some kind of award on the fact that we worry and that we stress about stuff. Okay. And so I think now we are more aware of the effects of stress and burnout and extreme anxiety on the body, because the body responds to all of those things.
Yes, it does. And I'm just like, feel so honored to be speaking to you, because I feel like after 2020, a lot of people are going to need this episode, because a lot of people have this bottled up stress and this worry. And now we're dealing with monkeypox. So that's just adding on to us just getting out of a pandemic. So people not really knowing how to deal with stress. So mm-hmm. What are some practical tips that you can give individuals when it comes to dealing with stress?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so the first thing that I would say when it comes to stress, I like things to be very simple, okay? You can do all the research you want. There's tons of things on stress, but I put stress into two categories. Okay. There's external stressors and internal stress, okay? External stressors are the ones that I really don't have a lot of control over, mm-hmm. and internal stressors are the ones that I do have control over. So this podcast is a perfect example of an external stressor, okay? So I hope that you're happy with this episode. I hope that your listeners are like, yeah, this is really helpful. I love it. Yeah, it's fantastic. But I cannot control what you guys all think about this episode and what I've given and what I've offered to your listeners. So that's an external stressor. The internal part of it is what I can do. So I am in control of my words, my actions, my thoughts, my reactions even. So all I can do in this example, right? Because sometimes people think, oh, going on a podcast is stressful. I think it's fun, but that's just me. I think it's super fun. But so I cannot control what you think about it. All I can do is I'm going to come up. I'm going to show up. I'm going to give the best that I can, 150%, and want your listeners and you to take away some practical tips. So that's all I can control. So for me to worry about whether people like it or not, it's irrelevant because it's external, right? And the same thing with the pandemic. It's the pandemic is external. Like, I have zero control. And so I find it interesting when you mention it and people talk about it. Yeah, we've been in a pandemic and it's stressful, I'll put it in quotation marks, but it's not because I don't have any control over it. So for me, I didn't really, to be honest, I wasn't overly stressed with the pandemic. Like I just wasn't because I don't have control over it, but I have control over certain things. So when it comes to, so coming back to external, internal, what I say, and I do this with my clients all the time, I would like you to make a list of all of your stressors, everything that stresses you out, and be as specific as you can.
Yes.
And then you're going to go through that list and you're going to look at each item one by one. And if it's an external stressor, so something you have no control over, you're going to put an E beside it. If it's an internal stressor, you'll put an I beside it. And then step number three, you're going to cross off all of your external stressors because you do not have control over them. And the thing is that once you do that, and I do this all the time, I do it myself, I've done it with people. And once we've done that activity, they look at their list. I had someone look at their list and go, I have two items. They're like, no, you don't. Like, and they said to me, Fran, you don't understand. Like, look at my paper. Like, there's like 27 things on here. I'm like, correct. And they're like, but they're all external. I'm like, yes. Like that's how simplistic. And I don't mean to minimize stress and all the things in our lives, but in many cases, there are things that you worry about and you're stressing over that you really can't change, like the future. Like, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Like, I don't know. Like, so for me to worry about that, it's like, I don't know if you know Michael J. Fox, who's a Canadian actor. Yeah. So he said in an interview one time, the interviewer said, so I understand you don't worry and stress about anything. And he's like, no, never. And they said, you know, like, Michael, how do you do that? And he goes, okay, well, this is what I think. If I worry about something that happened in the past, I'm going to worry about it twice. If I worry about something that's going to happen in the future, I'm also going to worry about it twice. So that's four times that I'm going to worry about something. And then I'm going to worry about it now. That's five. He goes, wow. I don't want to worry that much. He goes, I'm going to worry once when it happens in the moment.
Wow.
Right. And so it's just when you kind of put it in that perspective, it's like, oh yeah. Like, worst case, people hate this episode. That's horrible. That would make me very sad. No doubt about it. But all I can control is me and what I bring to it. So I think that that's a really important key, is just sort of internal and external stressors. And what are you worrying about? And once you get that list, then when you look at your internal stresses, then step four is look at them and write down, like, what's one thing that you could do that you could reduce your feelings of stress? So that's the first tip that I would say.
That is really good. I hope y'all got y'all notebooks and a pen, because she really just gave y'all a very good, helpful assignment that I'm even going to do, friend.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad. And the thing I want to put in this exercise is, oftentimes what happens is people, when they're making their list, people go on their list. Like, my kids are stressed. Kids are a perfect example. My kids are stressful. Yes. 100%. No doubt. We all agree. But you can, as a parent or a caregiver of any, whatever your role is as a caregiver relationship, you can guide your children to make good choices. You can guide your, like, please don't eat the dirt. Please, you know, like, please don't pull your sister's hair, whatever. Right. I can go. But ultimately, your children are people, and they have their own mind. And as much as you're like, please, I don't want you to eat dirt from the sandbox, and like, it's not a good idea, if they're gonna, they're gonna. Yeah. And then that's a life lesson for them that maybe they won't do it again, you know, but we sometimes think about people as something we can control, but we can't control them. Every person has their own choices to make. Right? Doesn't matter their age. So when you look at your list, you might find there's a lot of people on there. So those are really external stressors. There may be some things you can do in a relationship perspective. So if you, I don't know, let's say you argue with your sister about something, maybe the control part is you not engaging in the argument, or you not bringing up topics that you know might cause a little bit of disagreement.
Yeah.
So you just don't, or you change the conversation when something comes up that might cause some conflict. Let's redirect that. Yeah. So you can still only control your participation, and that the other person has their own role to play, and you can't control that. We sometimes think we control people. So I would really think that is when you look at your list, because you might find there's a lot of people on there. We can't control.
That was a good, Yes, it does. That was really good, actually, because as humans, we want some form of control. So when you said we can control what we say, or if we even have a rebuttal to what they say, we can control that. That can really give you a sense of control where you just be watching yourself let stress melt off of you.
Yes. And it's funny because when I talk with my clients about this, I'll say sometimes, you know, they're like, well, you know, I have this person in my life and there's always a problem and they're always complaining. We all have somebody in our life. If we don't have them now, we did at some point. Exactly. But the thing is with people like that, this is another piece of advice. Those kinds of people like engagement. They like reaction. So my advice is don't. So when they start to try and pull you into the drama or, you know, the argument or whatever it is, you just go, that's it. You don't say anything. You don't respond. You just go, just close your mouth, because what's going to happen though, is those people will be like, oh, like I really want Sadie to like complain with me. Like I want her to be involved in this drama circle that I'm starting, but she's really not doing it. Eventually those people are going to go to someone else because you don't give them what they want. So this is a really important thing, is that, and like you said, you mind what you say and be very aware of what you're contributing to an interaction, because that can change it. And they might get the subtle clue that, oh, okay, she doesn't want to talk about that. And then they just don't bring it up with you. So we, you know, people learn how to treat us by how we allow them to treat us. They learn what we'll talk about and what we'll accept by what we actually do and say. So that is a really important thing as well for managing stress. Breathing is so important, and we underestimate the power of the breath. So I would say, close your eyes. Okay. We're going to do something quick together. If you're driving, please don't close your eyes, but if you're safe to do so, please do that. Close your eyes. So now all I want you to do is I want you just take a quick scan of your body and see if you can feel an area of your body that might be a little bit tight or tense. So when you found that area, if possible, I'm going to ask you to put your hand on it. Okay. And now what I want you to do is I just want you to feel that spot, and we're going to breathe. So we're going to inhale through our nose and really expand the body. And then we're going to exhale through our mouth, and you're going to inhale. And I want you to keep thinking about that spot that has some tension, and exhale. And you're going to inhale relaxation and exhale that stress. And again, inhale and exhale, and then gently remove your hand. And I just want you to think about that spot now. How does it feel? Right? A little bit relaxed. Yeah. So it's a really great way to really use the power of the breath to relax the body. And by touching it, so touch is really healing. And so by touching that space, you're actually sending the message from the mind to the part of the body to just, the breath is going into that space and we're relaxing that space. So breathing is extremely important. And I think when we get stressed, we don't breathe well. So if you're feeling stressed or anxious, breathe. It's
very important. Yes, that is so good. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if you're going to even have nothing for this question I'm about to ask, because this is Soul Food with Sadie. So I'm really big on planting seeds with people so that they can grow to become the best version of themselves. So is there a seed you would like to leave with the listeners? It could be a word, it could be a statement, whatever you will have it to be.
You have the power and the knowledge and all the skill to get to wherever it is you need to be. And you are the one that moves you forward or stands in your way.
That is good. Fran just came through and just gave you guys so many gems. I'm sure that your cup is filled up. And Fran, someone is going to listen to this and you have already changed their mind. You have already brought peace into their life with that breathing exercise. And then the little homework you gave us, they're going to be wondering, how can they reach you? They want to know more about your program. Can you tell us a little bit more about how to reach you, about your program, and exactly what you do that can take them from a place of chaos to a place of peace?
Yeah. So I work with people either in group coaching program, or I do a 12-week one-on-one program. And we work on a lot of things. We work on mindset. We work on self-love. We work on forgiveness. We work on food, we work on movement, we work on all the stress, boundaries, all of those things. And each person, depending on what they need and where they are, we work through that together. And we do coaching calls together. And then people, I love homework. I'm a former teacher, so okay. There's always homework to do. But the key is that if you want to move forward, it's going to be some work. Like there's always going to be some work. But the thing is that if people who are listening to you and listening and following this podcast, they're ready for the work.
Yeah.
Because you're looking for something. So maybe that's me. Maybe what you're looking for is me, because I really believe that we do have the power to change our lives.
Yeah.
And if you want it, it's yours. And there are people there to help you. And I'm one of those people. Sadie's one of those people. And we are honored and blessed to help you for sure.
Yeah.
If you would like to ask some questions, or, you know, just you've got something going on, you got something to deal with and stress or pain, and you don't know what to do, send me a DM. You can find me on Instagram. Fran Garten Pain Coach is the best way. And I'm happy to help you and give you some suggestions on how you can move forward in your life.
Yes. And I'm big on investing in yourself to get to your next level. Listen, Fran, you might be hearing from me. Okay. Because I'm not all the way there. My podcast literally was a vision, and I'm doing it, but I've noticed that it was for me too. It was for me too. So I do want to say to people, start where you are, because you just never know how your help is going to come to you. You might have the platform, but the help might be sent right to your platform to help you get to your next level and to go through some, maneuver through some obstacles that you're still dealing with. Well, I thank you so much, Fran, for being a guest on the show. You have been such a light. I'm so thankful for that. Is there anything else you would like to tell the people?
Yes. Listen to the messages that come to you. Because like you said, you might be looking for something and it's not what you need, but something else comes and it kind of crosses your path and you're like, oh, that's a bit weird. So I think sometimes messages that we receive are the ones that go, oh, that's a bit weird. That's not what I was thinking was going to happen. So listen to those strange, out of pattern, routine kind of signs and messages, because those are the ones you need to listen to.
Those divine appointments. I believe in divine appointments. So listen to those divine appointments. Thank you all for tuning in to Soul Food with Sadie. This is Fran Gardner. She is on Instagram. All of her information will be in the show notes. I want you guys to go follow her. I want you guys to really go and see what she does. Do you have a website, Fran?
Yep. FranGartenCoaching.com. Yep.
FranGartenCoaching.com. It will be in the show notes. And are you like a whole life coach?
Yes.
Yes. Because it sounds like you hit on every single aspect of someone's life. And listen, we need those. I'm not a life coach. I'm just a mindset. But I literally believe in the full, well-rounded mind, body, and soul. And it sounds like that's what you do. So thank you, Fran, for just being you.
Thank you so much.
You all, Fran came through and really educated us on really how to get to the root of our stressors and really change our mindset so that we can flourish in our life and eliminate pain in every aspect. Guys, make sure that you did the activity that she had you to do, because it's really going to be beneficial to you guys' life. Thank you all again for listening to Soul Food with Sadie.
I am thankful for health in my body, peace in my mind, ears to hear and eyes to see. I am thankful for hands to write, legs and feet to stand, and wisdom to understand the gems that were given unto me today. I am thankful that I can create a strategy that I can implement into my life. I am thankful I am divinely created for such a time as this. I will be thankful for the small things, because the small things are only preparing me for the bigger things that are coming into my life.